So anyway, I am delighted to introduce Karina Wood today. I'm going to just tell you a little bit about her in a moment. We're going to be talking together for about 20 to 30 minutes, and then we'll have our discussion. And what we're going to be talking about is embracing the spiral, your light and your darkness. And I'm intrigued by this, and I'm looking forward to hearing from Karina about, what this entails. To tell you a little bit about her, so Karina is a visionary teacher of women's wisdom, and she's been teaching women's wisdom for over 30 years. She is a beloved leader in the can't say that word, holistic healing community. She ran Red Moon Herbs for over 20 years, and she also founded and directed Southeast Wise Women Herbal Conference, which is the largest known herbal event. And she did this for 15 years. And I guess you don't do that anymore, Karina. It sounds exhausting, really inspiring, but exhausting. And I know that you work with, you pioneer an earth-based women-centered approach to inner growth and healing. So I just want to say welcome to you today, Karina.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. And it's just lovely to see everybody here. And thank you for including me, Allison, in your circle of crone wisdom holders.
Well, we're delighted you're here, and we're very interested to understand, what embracing the spiral means, and your light and your darkness. So I think I mean, it's a little bit, to me, it sounds a little bit of it sounds a little obscure, it's not giving much away in the title. So I wondered, where do we start with this? Embracing the spiral, your light and your darkness. Where would you like to start on this?
Yeah, thanks. So this is an earth-based, woman-centered approach to inner growth and healing. And as a wise woman herbalist over the decades, I've been connected, of course, with the cycles of nature, with the moons, the seasons, and with those harvest cycles, and then also have seen those reflected more and more over the years and the decades in myself and in the women around me. And so I've actually turned this lens of the wise woman tradition and embracing the spiral and the cycles of nature, valuing ourselves as women, to the inward growth and healing, as well as, of course, the beloved plants and the what I would consider like more outward aspects of our growth and healing. And so my passion now through my own healing and recovery process, which I am personally over the moon about, and now have created tools by applying this earth-based woman-centered lens for other women and a pathway to follow, and then seeing other women having just so such powerful results. It's now become the focus of my life's work.
Wow.
So, to like give a starting place, it's like looking at the cycles of nature, so the seasons of the year, and rather than the focus that's predominant in today's culture, even not just in mainstream, but in like alternative circles, a lot of times it's very much about the light and like, the white light and stay positive and all of that. And so this is looking through that lens of nature and saying, we also go through the winter. The plants send their energy down into the roots to restore, and we need that rest. We need that restoration as women as well. The cycles of the dark moon and the full moon. And of course, in our menstruating years, which I am no longer in, but that menstrual cycle calls us down to the inward dark moon time. So in ancient times with the moon lodges, my understanding is that when the women were bleeding together, it was often on the dark of the moon. And what I've experienced and what I've heard from other menopausal and postmenopausal women is that when we're not cycling with the moon through our menstrual cycle anymore, that it can actually be even stronger, that pull of when you pay attention to, oh, the dark moon time like that, that pulls us inward because we don't have that hormonal internal cycle. Let's now at cross pulls because we lead all to different times of the cycle of the moon in these days with electric lights. Okay, so is that making sense so far? Or just checking if I've
Yes,
okay.
and what I just want to say something about that, embracing the darkness, because this is the crone energy as well, is this energy.
Exactly.
And that's just, it's so important. I mean, we've been forsaken and pushed out for so long, and
Exactly.
we're here, our community is here as part of the reclamation of crone. So
Exactly.
I'm really pleased that you're bringing this in as an
Yes.
important element.
Yes, exactly. And so, yeah, just as we're told to like be in the light and the happy parts of ourselves and the helpful parts of ourselves, it's also that pressure to be in youth and to, keep looking young as long as, and just that denial of the autumn and winter phases of a woman's life, as we move into those crone years, that dark moon phase of a woman's life. And so the internal invitation is to recognize that we have innate human needs that line up with those cycles of nature. And so, like the summer solstice, the full moon time, though we do have naturally needs for contribution and self-expression and that outward expression of ourselves. And then as we look at the dark moon time and the winter solstice time, we have those needs for rest and integration and recovery and healing. And so in the lens of inner growth and healing, it's embracing the spiral of our light and our dark, and recognizing that, yeah, these innate psychological needs, which have been identified through various fields of psychology, nonviolent communication, and have been grouped in different ways, I've regrouped them to overlay them with the cycles of nature. I'm not sure if it'll show up reverse, but this is a poster that I have that reflects those cycles. So this is the dark moon time, the rest. These are our needs for safety that line up with the Imbolc season and the crescent waxing moon, needs for respect, valuing Beltane, contribution at summer solstice, love and connection at Lammas, clarity at fall equinox, and divine at Samhain. So there's, it's all like a spiral within a spiral within a spiral, because we spiral through these every day and night. With the nighttime, we need the rest. And then with the moons and with the seasons of the year and the seasons of our lives. And so as crone and elder women, it's also, connecting into these groups of needs around safety and rest and divine connection.
Yeah, that's I mean it's just it sounds fascinating, and I'd love to be able to read all the elements on there. And I'm just curious, I mean you talk about the spiral, and some people talk about the circle, and so I wondered,
Yeah.
you know, what is it about the energy of the spiral that you feel is more appropriate than the circle?
Yeah. Well, they're both beautiful, and this is you know, showing this in the context of like the wheel of the year. So the wheel is a circle. And what we're also acknowledging is that we spiral through these, you know, over our days and nights and seasons of our lives. And so, like looking at the seasons of the year, we are now approaching the summer solstice, believe it or not. And we're coming back around to this time, and yet we're different. So it is a turn on the wheel and on the circle, but it is also a turn on the spiral, because when we come back around, it's part of the beauty of these cycles of nature and how they're reflected in ourselves and what we learn about ourselves as we're like, oh yeah, so summer solstice this time, this last year, this is what was happening. This is what I see now. And learning and growth and healing is a spiral in itself. And so as we come back around, we can move into deeper layers. I also saw somebody asked about this chart, and I am including a link to the black and white version, or Allison, I think
yes.
That's the link that I sent for you to share, is the black and white version of this Wise Woman Needs Wheel.
Okay. And so we can color that if we want to.
Yeah. I do have a color version of that actual poster on my website too. So if you want it, you can take a look there.
Okay. That's just beautiful. And now that really makes sense to me, you know, the circle and the spiral working together as a dual process, really. I really do appreciate that. And also I love that you emphasize that we're spiraling through the circles in many different ways at the same time. Because, you know, like you say, if we're coming to the summer solstice, and if we were just focusing on that, you know, that could be like too much energy rising up. If we're
it's
just
an overwhelming time of year. It's like everything needs to be harvested at once, and
yeah,
the garden's overflowing.
Yeah. And then if we put in the cycles of the day and the night, and we bring in the dark elements as well, that sort of gives us the great permission just to just, you know, not be on that all hyper up kind of energy, as you said at the beginning, and also being cognizant of where we are on the larger cycle. You know, in our own turning of our own, just the big circle, and realizing that the coming into the light and the summer solstice is going to be experienced very differently for us when we are, you know, in the crone years than it would be if we were in the, if we were children, for example, or.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and one of the pieces that is really helpful for women to recognize is that looking through this lens, you know, we're afraid of our needs because women have been taught to put the needs of others before our own, and we're told that it would be selfish to focus on your own needs. And that recognition, as you're speaking to with the summer solstice being this time of contribution and self-expression, is also a recognition that that actually is a basic human need. Like, we all want to contribute to making the world a better place. There's some way that, you know, your unique gifts and skills, like you would love to offer to, whether it's your granddaughter or what you're doing here, Allison, with holding space for crones and wise women and menopausal women and all the, you know, things that you're pulling together. And it can be in big ways and in small ways, but we have that desire to contribute to the well-being of others. And so when our, like, We're kind of stuck though in that summer solstice because we're told, oh, you should be always available, always giving to others. And so we're often doing it from a place of depletion. And so bringing attention to your needs supports you in meeting those needs for rest and safety and respect and valuing. And when those needs are met, then you can contribute to the world from a place of your cup flowing over rather than a place of depletion. So it's busting that myth that self-care is selfish because when we take care of ourselves, then we're actually giving not what we should do and what we're doing out of exhaustion, but what's overflowing out of your own unique gifts to do.
Yeah, I really love this. And when you were talking about that, I was thinking about the fields where I live, because I live in a farming community. It's agricultural, and the farms are all small, so the fields are small in comparison to the US, for example. They're really small, and so a farmer, my farmer across the road, he has ducks, but he also has a number of fields around, and so I watch what goes on every year. And I was just thinking, yeah, the fields that are pushed to depletion because they, sh you know, there's this idea they should be yielding X amount of what's it, and then they pile on, unfortunately, pesticides and herbicides and artificial fertilizers. Some of them don't.
Totally.
And it's
That's
very
beautiful.
interesting, you know, how we do expect this endless giving of the earth and this endless giving of women, even when we get to this stage of our life. Yes.
That's a great analogy. Absolutely. It's like rebuilding our own soil through that replenishment. And I know even for you women here, like that's why you're here. Like that's this connection with each other and with the valuing of yourself and of ourselves as crones is part of that replenishment and that feeding your roots and your soil.
Yeah, and giving ourselves the permission to rest. I mean, rest has come up as an issue before in
Sure.
these groups. And, you know, I don't know about anybody else. I find it almost impossible to give myself that permission to rest
It's
because I
hard.
can just squeeze another thing I am responsible for in.
It's deeply ingrained, especially as women. We're just supposed to be giving and putting the needs of others before our own.
So, if we wanted to start with this, a more authentic healing process, where's the place to begin?
So the invitation that I'm bringing is that while it can be tempting to go for only the light part of the spiral and to focus on trying to rise above your feelings or just think good thoughts. You know, those are the like common messages that we hear today a lot of times in the alternative community. So my invitation is that rather than reinforcing those old messages that as women we're socialized to put the needs of others before our own and that told that we're too emotional. So we have strong emotions like feeling weary, like feeling frustrated or angry or sad because we have underlying needs that are unmet. And this is something that's established through nonviolent communication and other fields of psychology. So this is not a new concept, but somehow we continue to be criticized for having strong emotions, and then we've internalized a lot of that so that we are not only feeling frustrated, but we're angry with ourselves for feeling frustrated, or we are ashamed that we're feeling the way that we are. So my invitation is around reclaiming that relationship with your underlying needs. And just a very simple practice would be empathizing with yourself. So noticing, okay, wow, I really am feeling sad. Okay, you're feeling sad. I hear that you're feeling sad. What needs are underlying that? And if you want to get a copy of my needs wheel, that can also help you look toward, okay, right, I sat around my needs for connection. Okay, so I'm feeling sad around my needs for connection. So just that, repeating that back to yourself is a first step of self-empathy and self-compassion. And as you do that, you also develop your relationship with your needs, and that can help recognize some of the old mistaken beliefs that can underlie the ways that we try to, some of the unsuccessful or ineffective ways that we try to meet our needs. So that's also some like a next layer is then you can work with healthy, self-loving, believable beliefs that can support you in effective strategies to meet your needs, more effective strategies. So as you bring attention to your needs, that also just naturally will happen. So
Yes, and that's so
meditation.
interesting because we probably have accumulated a whole load of ways of trying to meet the needs that we are aware of, and they probably don't work. And so yeah, I think that that's a really interesting thing to actually reflect upon that and cast some thought upon, I don't know, like lack of community is a very good example. Lack of community. And so, yeah, and the or loneliness. You could say loneliness is the first step, or feeling depressed because, and then you go, oh yeah, well, what are the needs and that aren't being met? And then it sort of spirals. Again, spirals through if you chase where, not chase, but if you open up where it's going, if you practice awareness and then think, oh well, how do I normally deal with this? You go, oh, it's not working.
Yeah, I could tell a brief story about when I was going through menopause, and I was so irritable with my teenage son, and interruptions became intolerable, and his choices to like stay up late were impacting my ability to get sleep because I was so stressed out about him not getting his needs for sleep met. I was like worrying about it in the night and not getting my own needs for sleep met. And so as I, brought attention with like one of the layers being, okay, wow, I'm really, really irritable. Okay, what needs are underlying this? Well, I'm wanting more support like around the house with things like, why am I like holding all this stuff when he's got like earbuds in his ears and he's just wants to make his own ramen instead of my local organic food? And I'm also having like needs for rest and sleep unmet. And so as I went through that journey, and he was when he was 16, and this is unique to my story, like this, the solution is not going to be the same for everybody, because I was actually living in an intentional community where he had been born and raised. And I was meanwhile falling in love with my partner Tiffany, and I ended up deciding that I wanted to move out of the community to a place on the edge with her. I invited him to come with me, and he preferred to stay in a portion of the house that I like blocked off for him and then rented out the other part until he was ready to move into into town. And he was already responsible and resourceful and respectful, and I thought that it was gonna be fine, although I did like struggle with a lot of mama guilt and grief, like most of all the grief of just like losing that aspect of my identity and of my that phase of my life. And he and I now, what is it, almost 10 years later, he and I both look back at that choice that I made with so much gratitude. It was the best thing for both of us. He just graduated with honors, has like this awesome job, is like contributing all this ecological skills to this much larger municipal scale, and we go hiking and biking every couple weeks. Like, it's just like it all turned out beautifully, but it was not, you know, it was a very unconventional choice. So,
Wow, and that's because you actually did this. You actually explored what are your needs that are not being,
yeah, and I had needs for connection and love that were like opening up in this whole new way, you know, with my new beloved, and that's just been a beautiful path, of course, for me, but also he's just so, and I was able to sleep too, and then he like. He actually ended up paying his way through college and like learning how to like get a job and just, you know, he became very autonomous and responsible and worked.
Wow, that's so amazing. That's one, what a wonderful story to share with us. And a great example of how this can, how you, what I love about it is that not just you benefited from doing this, it had repercussions out into the world. So I love that. Okay, so I would love to open the discussion. Before we do that, though, I just want to, because some people will be watching this not as part of the discussion. So I do want to just tell everybody that the link to get the free gift is in front of you if you're watching the replay. And Karina's website is karinawood.com. So you can go there and explore as well.